Title that we're going to address, and that is the Word of God perfects. The Word of God perfects. In other words, perfects us. And I want to base this theme from the Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 2, and we'll look primarily at verse 5. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. And here this wonderful epistle speaks about God who is light and God who is love. That's the main emphasis of this epistle. And we take it up in verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Now, one of the key factors of this epistle, and many times it comes up, the emphasis is that John says, you know. It's an experiential knowing. And that is one of the emphases of this epistle. When you read this epistle of John, it's all about knowing, experiencing God in your life. It's not just something that you read or something that is just merely theological, but he is expressing in this epistle that God's love is an experience in your life that changes you. And that is what we need to look for. If more Christians were honest with their walk, with regard to their experience with God, we wouldn't have the problems that we have so much in the house of God. Because God's love, God's spirit, God's presence is to be an experience. Because he's alive, living today. And we walk today with him now by faith. And this isn't something that's theoretical. It isn't something that is abstract. It is a true reality to those who are truly born again and filled with the Spirit of God. And so this is the emphasis that John emphasizes in this epistle. But I want to take it up in this verse because I want to speak about this perfecting work that God does in our life. But the emphasis, as we're looking at, is that God is light and God is love. And because he is those two main things, that is the emphasis, that is the guidance and leading for us to walk in that. We cannot walk with God if we don't experience his light. Because without it, you get lost. It's obvious. And in order to walk in that light, which he is light, we need his love. His love that changes us, that works with us, bears with us, even in our downfallings. He's all the while, his love is reaching out, working so that we walk in that light as he is in the light. So this is the emphasis on this. And if we walk in that light and that love, then this results in a true confession out of our life and heart. And we confess our sins, our shortcomings. Because something within us wants to continue to walk in that light
and that love. Why? Because we have tasted of it. It's becoming our experience. It's not just something theological, it is something that I know. And that knowing, nobody can take that away from you. That is between you and God. That is why the things of God with each of us is profound. You cannot stereotype it. You can't put it in a box. We're each of us fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And how God deals with one saint and with another can be different. But the end result will be all the same when we're all glorified and brought into his presence one day. So it is wonderful how you see God working with each of us in those ways that he does, because each of us are different. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Not two of us are alike, even twins who can look alike, yet they still have a different character and personality. This is the wonder and miracle of Almighty God. And so he knows us better than we even know ourselves. And that's why he so lovingly works with us, perfecting us in our everyday walk that we have with him. And we'll look at that later on. But the title we're talking about this morning is The Word of God Perfects. And that is the nature of God's Word when we read it or when we hear it under the anointing. The Word of God has a cleansing emphasis to it. In other words, it keeps us right with God. It keeps us in a right standing with him. And this is the emphasis of what John is saying here. If we don't love, then we don't know God. It's as simple as that. So if we are experiencing his love, then that love is transmitted, which is within us, to others as well. And that is an experience. Now, we might not get it straight away, but we know that God is going to work with us with regard to love, with regard to our fellowship, with regard to our attitudes to our brothers and sisters, and to the outside world, and it embraces our enemies as well. That's how great God's love is. But God's love also speaks of fellowship with him and each other. And it is that fellowship that we have with him that inspires our faith. Could it be that there is such a lack of faith today, and the root of it is because saints are not inspired? They are not knowing God in that intimate way that inspires our faith to carry on to believe. This is absolutely paramount if we want to walk God, because ultimately our faith is to produce that obedience. Walking in the light as he is in the light of the world, walking in his love, inspires us to believe, and that belief, that believing, brings ultimately that obedience, that yielding to his will. That is really how God's working with you and I. This is why he doesn't stand over us with a whip. This is why he doesn't insist in that sense. But he reveals himself as a loving father, and it is by that that we respond. Our obedience, our steps of faith, our going on walking with God each day is ultimately motivated by the love of the Father that is ministered to us through the Holy Spirit. So looking back at this in this verse, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected. This speaks about keeping his word. And what do we mean by keeping his word? Does it mean that we confess it every day? We learn portions of scripture, memorize it? All of that can have a place. Does it mean that I'm to read at least 5 or 6 chapters a day? I'm to be devout to the word both morning and evening? That can have its place, but that is not the motivation. When it speaks about the word, keeping the word, it means that you hold on to it. You hold on to that which you hear. And part of that process of holding on is agreeing with the word. Is not questioning it, arguing with it, wrong attitudes towards it, which we can all adopt so easily. And if we find that we have those problems, we're not going to be able to hold on to the word. You see, God raises believers, and he has done right through the centuries, right through the believers, the remnant, which I spoke about on Sunday. This remnant that God has is for a purpose, to preserve, protect, and keep the revelation of God's word. If it is not for the sake of the remnant, the elect, there will not be an understanding of God's word, because it requires the Holy Spirit. It requires the gifts that he sets in to the body, so that we can get that deeper understanding of the word of God that's ministered to us, for the purpose that we stay with it, we keep with it, we're those type of custodians of God's word, of the deeper life. How many are staying with the deeper life in these last days? Most, as far as we see, have left it. And it's by the grace and mercy of God that he keeps us still believing, pressing in for it, to see it manifest experientially. But most are not. So this idea of being custodians of God's word is also this understanding of perfection that God is working within us, which he does by the word of God. It's the same idea as those who keep the faith, who stay with the faith. For example, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, which you know very well. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. That was his perfection. That was a perfecting work God was doing there. I have kept the faith. I have stayed with it. I have been faithful. I've not let it go. And it's very easy to let all of this go because we don't feel well, or I've had a bad day, or things are not going as I want, or it seems as though God didn't answer my prayer, and so on. It's very easy to take on these wrong attitudes. Whatever is happening, you can be well assured God never ever makes a mistake, because he is sovereign. So we can rest in these things. I want to speak a little bit about this perfecting work that God's doing with us. I know we've spoken on and off much about this over the years, but I do think we need to remind ourselves exactly what God is doing with us, because perfection is a knowing, is an experience. And we're not going to sort of know every day, or I'm being more perfected this day. That's not what we're talking about, but there is a general knowing that you are on the right course, you are in that race, and it is a perfecting work that God is doing with us. And I can only speak, of course, for FGA. So let's look at some of this, just to familiarize ourselves. We know that we are to be perfect because Matthew 5:48 tells us so. And he says, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, that is interesting because it's speaking about God in heaven who is perfect. So you're dealing there with God, the Father, absolute sinless perfection, no blemish, nothing, absolute complete purity and perfection. And he says, you are to be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And this is why most will not ever talk about that. You will seldom ever hear it preached. And it's something that most will say could never ever be attained to. Well, we know that on our side of it, and this isn't to excuse ourselves, but there is a perfection that God is looking for, but this is not sinless perfection, unlike God, where no sin is to be found in him. He is perfection. He is perfect. That is the goal. That is the aim. Jesus is the author, finisher of our faith, we're told. So that's the first thing we need to look at. And the Apostle Paul, he reveals things about this section. For example, let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Most of these verses you know, but we need to just look at them in the context of what we're talking about. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. So he's talking about the new man, bearing the fruit, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, and so it goes on. This is speaking about perfection being worked within us. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong one. That sounded pretty good. So I was in Colossians there. I'm so sorry. Bear with me if you will. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. This is the one. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So we start to get a deeper understanding of what Matthew 4 verse 48 is on about. Because he says quite clearly, he says, I've not attained, I've not got there yet, but I'm pressing on. I'm not giving up. I'm continuing each day to walk by faith for what God has set before me, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So he has seen something in the perfecting work in his life. And you get this idea of this race, that he's in a race. And it's like a relay race when they run. And they pass that back and on in that race. And so the two of them are starting to run together as the one that's been racing round the first course passes it on to the other to continue that race. In other words, we get the idea that the Lord Jesus is with us in that race. He has laid hold of him, and Jesus has laid hold of him. They're both in it together. This is the idea that we get where we're in this race for perfection to be worked. And this idea of perfection is also another understanding of being complete. God looks at us being complete the course. We complete the race. He's not on about whether you win it, in that sense, because you're running with other runners. If we run with other runners, you probably can be guaranteed you won't catch up with them. It'll always look as though they're miles ahead of you, much fitter than you. And that's what always happens when you take your eyes off Jesus. And then you look to others and you will see, I'm not like them. I can't even walk like they are. Look what they know. Look how consecrated they are with God. Look at the perfection in their life and the fruit. They're miles ahead of me. Oh, how the devil likes to do that. Get our eyes off the Lord and looking to other. But that's not the race that God's talking about here. This race is, yes, you run that race the same as everybody else does, but your finishing goal is Jesus. Don't bother about your brother or sister or whoever is in a race in that sense. Just pray for them that they will be faithful and they'll maintain that course that God has set for them. But you run that race that God has for you and you alone. For he is the goal. He is the prize. So you complete that race. You've completed the course. And we start to get this understanding of perfection. It's interesting that when we're born again, given a new nature, filled with the Holy Spirit, perfection is already possessed by the believer. It's there. Interesting. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So by one offering, he is the perfect one, the perfect offering. We have that perfect offering, that perfection now in us by faith. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So look what he starts to achieve and work with. We also see that perfection means also our spiritual maturity. Philippians 3, and verse 15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. So that he says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature or maturing, have this mind. So we see that we are maturing into the sons of God, because that's the revelation of this.
That is what's to be revealed to crony creation. Revelation 12. We also see with regard to our perfection, our being worked on, that this is vital with regard to ministry. In Ephesians 4, which we know very well, and verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So God also sets the gifts within the church to help with that maturing, that perfecting, that completed work for the believer. And this is why we see this in the deeper life teaching. It is that open door for this work to be accomplished in a remnant that God has in these last days, the overcomer, the bride that's making herself ready. So the fivefold ministry has also a great part in this. And could this be again why a lot of our brothers and sisters are not maturing and perfecting? Because they're not really under the fivefold ministry that's appointed, anointed by God. Many of these ministries are placed there by man, by organizations, denominations. The qualification for fivefold ministry is the anointing, the calling that comes from heaven above. And many you will find who are called for such ministry would never in themselves want to do it, couldn't do it. So we always find that whatever God calls us to do, it is always done, completed, worked through weakness that doesn't lie in our natural ability. So often God works principally that way. We can't be perfect. It's an impossible task. So it has to be God. It has to be the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit, working this perfection within us, helping us to keep in that race and to run that race and to complete it, which we've been looking at. Finally, perfection for the whole being is its ultimate work, that you may be whole in mind, body, spirit. That again gives us an understanding of perfection, being brought in wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. That's what he's working with us. Let's look at 1 John 4. John 4:17-18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Verse 19 is actually the key to the rest of those two verses. We love him because he first loved us. And that love that he loved us first with is an experience. It is not something you read. It is something that I know, that I am affected by, that has changed my life, my thinking, my mind, my whole being. It has completely turned me around. His first love to me. And as a result of that, it has affected me so much that I love him also. That should be a knowing, brothers and sisters. And if we have that working like that, then we can begin to see verses 17 and 18 working in our lives. Love has been perfected. It's being perfected in me. In other words, the love of God, his love among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. In other words, I have a boldness that I can stand and will stand before him on that great and awesome day. Because love, his love, and my love for him has worked that. The same as we're to come boldly before God to make our requests known unto him. A lot of Christians, believers, don't know of this boldness coming before him. This is why we don't see always the things that we should see in the body of Christ, because they're not sure about this love. But this is to be experienced, brothers and sisters, as he says here. There is no fear in this love. It's a perfect love. It's his love, and it casts out all that fear that the devil paralyzes the world with, and sadly the house of God as well. The Bible shows many have run away in fear, in trial, when the heat's turned up. We're truly honest with him, and we love him. A question that we can raise so easily, Lord, will I do that? When it really comes to a real trial, will I run away in fear? Lord, you know all things. It's not what I want. Sounds familiar? Sounds a bit like what our Lord was doing with Peter when he called him to feed his sheep. God knows all things. But we can have a chance to get these things right. We can have a get a chance why the Lord's tarrying, so that he can work that love within us that will cast out that fear. Because if that fear is still in me, it will cause me in some way to run away, to deny the Lord. Not out verbally, but in action. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So we need the perfecting love of God to cast out that fear. And that is the only way fear, that is the only way you will be delivered with Satan's problem, because he fears God, and that's what he wants you to do as well. He wants you to have his problem. He holds the world in fear, and the way you get delivered from that is you receive the perfect love of God. And that is a gift. That is what God graciously, lovingly gives to us. And how do you know? Because you are experiencing it. You know it. Why does God emphasizes, why is the Lord speaking in such a way to us this evening? Because it goes on, because fear involves torment. The idea is torment, it's irrational. It borders on the psychotic. It causes you to do things that is not in your nature. That's what it means. And God wants us resolute, standing, faithful, completing the race, the walk that he has set for us. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And there it is. The royal law, the royal commandment to love one another, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind and being. That is the command. Everything else, God says, you know, it's up to you, but I will have that. He's working that. He wants us to experience the Father's love so that we are completely delivered in these last days from fear. We don't know what we're meeting. We don't know what we're going to face. We don't know what is around the corner. But we know that if we have the Father's love completed within us, his completed love, then we can stand against anything. And that is how the church has stood right through the centuries, by the remnant that he has. Because she has been perfected by his perfect love. That is perfection. So we see, brothers and sisters, this is all a work of grace and mercy. It is nothing that we can boast about. It's all his handiwork. So you see, if we keep his word, his love is perfected in us. It means that I am maturing. I'm growing up into that son. He's completing me. He's completing my walk. He's completing FGA to what it's called and predestined for. But it also means to keep his word. It also means to abide in him as he is in us. In other words, settle down and get on with it. And the children of Israel wouldn't. They were stiff-necked. They kept arguing, bickering, finding problems, didn't like the trials, griping, moaning. In the end, you just got to say to yourself, settle down with it and just get on with it. I've said that to myself on quite a number of occasions. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Second Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So that is the nature of God's word, that two-edged sword. It's cleaning us up, perfecting us, in other words, making us holy, separate people. And that's his promise. So the promises of God, which are a blessing, but they're also in nature cleansing as well. So are you believing for something? Are you holding on by faith for whatever it would be? You say to me, well, I'm believing for a new car. Well, praise God. God will give you that new car. But I'll tell you something, that new car is going to perfect you. It's going to cleanse you. Yes, even God uses all of that in which to do that perfecting work within us. And often it's the delays of these promises that is the perfecting work. That's why they don't come straight away. Very seldom. Because 2 Corinthians 7:1 tells us why. Praise God, but he is faithful. He will promise. So it says that God's love is perfected in us, and it can only take his love to do what is impossible otherwise. Turning back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, as we bring this to a close. So it says that the love of God is perfected in him, or in us, in other words, and by this we know that we are in him. So it is very, very important to know that we are in him. That gives us that confidence, that boldness. And it can only take his love in which to do this. This love is an unconditional love. That's the love that we're talking about. In other words, it's accepting the terms which God presents to us. We accept the terms of God's love, which has to embrace our enemies as well. They're the terms. And that love forgives. Period. And if we settle that and we find ourselves seeking God, praying for our enemies, then this tells us that we are in him. And if we're in him, then we know him. I know him. I know his character. I know when this is Jesus. I know when he's speaking. I know when I see the fruit of the Spirit. I know when I see love in another saint. You just know. You don't have to keep running to other people and asking them, well, is this God's love or not? What do you think? You've got to come to that place where you know. And that's the emphasis of what John is trying to put here. Experiential knowing. To forgive someone. And we've all been tested on this, or we will be, about forgiving. When you forgive, it becomes an experience. It becomes a joy, a blessing. It gives God all the glory. You know that couldn't be done in the natural. But look what God did. Look how he worked. And if we want this love perfected in us, then we're all going to be tested in this area. Until we get it right. Because God is not going to have wrong attitudes, criticism, lies, gossip. He's not going to have us wishing in our hearts to see a saint fall down. None of that. It has to be pure. He's perfecting that within us. And so this is an experience. And it tells us that we're in him. And he in us. So these experiences are there. So to forgive, as I said, it's an experience. To go that extra mile is an experience. To be rejected is an experience. Where you're lied and gossiped about is an experience. Everything is an experience with God. Everything that we do is an experience with the Lord. Our prayer life should be an experience. Our meetings should be an experience. When we hear the word of God, that should be an experience. Everything, if we are with God and he's with us, should be an experience for the purpose that we know him. And this knowing, which I've been emphasizing a lot tonight, is vital if you want that perfecting work done in your life, and where it comes to its completeness, where you have run the race. That's what it means. To run the race means the perfection. It's done. And the sons of God have got to run and finish this race. The bride who's making herself ready has to do so until she is ready, complete, done, perfected. These are all the aims that we're aiming for. Noah built that ark until it was completed, finished. In other words, perfected. It was done in order to save those eight souls and all those animals. We pick out these types all the time. Abraham's faith was perfected, brought to completion when he was willing to offer up Isaac. And God is doing exactly the same with you and I. Praise God. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that you are in complete control. Lord, we have nothing to fear. Your perfect love resides and lives within us. As we decrease, that you increase, so that our boldness develops within us. Father, work these godly affections, we ask. What we've heard tonight, Lord, make it reality. Make it real. Not just another meeting, listening to another word. Father, we are desperate for change because we're all in this transition. And so, Father, we thank you for your love, grace, and mercy tonight, because you first loved us. And Father, may we walk in the fullness of that love, because that is the fruit of the Spirit, and that the world out there will know that we have been with Jesus. For this we ask, Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.